This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for joining me. I welcome your question, comments, topics of interest, things that you'd like to hear me talk about on this program. You could email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. How many of you are plagued with postmenopausal symptoms? Well, there is an interesting study that confirms the benefits of fennel in reducing postmenopausal symptoms such as sleeplessness, hot flashes, and anxiety. Okay, before I get into fennel, if you're still experiencing symptoms of sleeplessness, hot flashes, and anxiety, my advice to you, even if you're not postmenopausal and you just have these symptoms, they're not necessarily exclusive to menopause, right? People can have insomnia, people can suffer with anxiety, right? The hot flashes may be more about hormonal changes than anything like menopause and postmenopause. Might I suggest you give up caffeine? I know we all love our coffee, our teas, all of that kind of thing, but even green tea, if you have enough of it, can cause some adrenal stress if you're prone, and that can cause, you know, keep you from sleeping. It can raise our temperature, cause hot flashes. When we're taking anything that's stimulating like caffeine, it can provoke anxiety. So before I even tell you about fennel, I would first investigate what else is in your diet that may be causing these symptoms. It could be, now, other sources of caffeine besides coffee and tea, chocolate, sorry, foods and beverages that destabilize our blood sugar, like sugar, white flour, alcohol. Alcohol is a big problem, absolutely, for sleeplessness and hot flashes. And when we get low blood sugar from imbibing, also anxiety may ensue. Let me come back to you now about fennel. I love fennel. Don't you love roasted fennel? A nice anise flavoring. A recent study has confirmed that fennel helps minimize postmenopause symptoms. This herbal medicine is rapidly growing in popularity, as it's helped countless women across the globe manage their symptoms. Women love the fact that fennel does not have any serious side effects. Eat some fennel. Put some in your salad. Cook with it. Fennel is often used, by the way, as a digestive between meals. So fennel is commonly used in cooking. It has an anise flavor, or anise, a licorice flavor, that is quite pleasing to the palate. And fennel has long been valued for providing an array of health benefits for all sorts of issues, ranging from digestion problems, fennel is great for that, it's a digestive, to premenstrual symptoms for those suffering with PMS. Fennel has essential oils and phytoestrogenic properties. Similar to estrogen-like chemicals found in plants, phytoestrogens are used to successfully treat myriad menopause symptoms. Now, the phytoestrogens in fennel, there are phytoestrogens anywhere, It's in much produce. They're mostly concentrated in soy. And I know I've had clients over the years come and tell me, they would boast, I didn't need any hormone replacement therapy at all. I needed no HRT because I drank a glass of soy milk every day. This helped completely combat my hot flashes. Well, it could be those phytoestrogens in there that did it. Pretty powerful stuff. So, this new study confirms that fennel is quite effective in managing irritability, depression, the sleeplessness, those nasty hot flashes, anxiety, and vaginal dryness. And the results were recently published in the North American Menopause Society, NAMS, online journal Menopause. On the online journal Menopause. Go and Google that. Women have made use of alternative and complementary medicine for menopause symptom management across the past decade plus. There has been a steady movement away from hormone therapy, as it's had its fair share of side effects. Though hormone therapy is a highly effective means of treating the majority of menopause symptoms, women are turning to herbal medicines in droves. Some are not candidates for hormone therapy, while others are fearful of the side effects. And for those who have had reproductive cancers, uterine, endometrial, ovarian, breast, they're not candidates for hormone replacement therapy. Speaking of, I just want to talk a little bit about a supplement that we like. It's called Estrovera, and it's basically Siberian rhubarb, another helpful herb for especially combating hot flashes. So coming back to this study was done in Tehran, Iran. Women who live in Tehran reach menopause at a younger age, the average age being 48.2 years, than women who reside in the United States. Women, American women, the average age of menopause is typically 51 years. Soft capsules with 100 milligrams of fennel were provided to Iranian women between the ages of 45 and 60. The capsules were consumed 2 times per day over an 8-week period. And the study was comprised of 79 women, some of whom were in a placebo group. You need a placebo group to see what occurs with the treatment group and have something to compare it to. The intervention and placebo groups were compared at the following intervals, 4, 8, and 10 weeks. A major statistical difference was noted. Fennel proved to be an effective and safe means of decreasing menopause symptoms without inducing major side effects. This is one of the first clinical studies to determine if the benefits of fennel for the management of menopause symptoms had merit. Fennel was previously studied to determine if it was effective in managing premenopause symptoms. It was determined that fennel was helpful. So, the study determined that consuming fennel 2 times per day alleviated the severity of menopause symptoms. The placebo had minimum effect. It is still necessary to conduct a longer and larger randomized study, yet these findings make it clear that fennel is quite effective for reducing postmenopausal symptoms. Very interesting study from Iran. So add fennel to your daily diet. Have some fennel in your salad. Roast some fennel. Nibble on a little fennel as a digestive between your meals. But I will tell you something. You could take all the fennel you wish. If you're going to continue the habit of caffeine, red wine, chocolate in excess to the point where it's causing your insomnia or sleeplessness, pardon me, fennel won't help you as much Take that into consideration. Interesting study. Now, here's another study I read. All right, it's not about nutrition, but come on. It involves all of us. And I think, and just because when I ride the subway each day to go to the office and come back home, I am still just kind of mortified by how everybody is so involved with their phones that they don't even look up. They don't even look up to see if a pregnant or elderly or disabled person has entered the train to offer a seat. They don't look up. People are watching their favorite television programs on their smartphones with their earbuds in. They're not even aware of many subway announcements. Well, guess what? There's a study that says just having your smartphone within reach diminishes brain power. Study finds that even if your smartphone is turned off, your cognitive capacity is significantly decreased just by having it nearby. A new study conducted at the University of Texas at Austin McComb School of Business has determined one's cognitive capacity is drastically diminished when his smartphone is within reach. It doesn't matter if the phone is in the on or off position. Cognitive capacity declines if the phone is at arm's length, even if the device doesn't function. Fascinating. Adrian Ward, an assistant professor at McCombs, conducted experiments on about 800 smartphone users with the assistance of co-authors. They attempted to measure how well individuals complete tasks when their smartphones were within reach, even if the participants were not using the smartphones. One of the experiments involved the participants sitting at a computer and taking an array of tests that necessitate full concentration for a high score. The tests were then shaped to measure users' available cognitive capacity. This is a reference to the brain's ability to store and process data. The study participants were randomly told to put their smartphones face down on the desk, in their bag or pocket, or in a completely separate room before the tests commenced. Each participant was instructed to put their smartphone in silent mode. Here's what they found out. The research team determined participants who put their smartphones in a separate room outperform those who put their smartphones face down on the desk by a significant margin. They also outperform those who put their phones in their bag or in their pocket. The findings show that the presence of an individual's smartphone decreases his available cognitive capacity. The phone's presence even impairs his cognitive functioning. Fascinating stuff, right? And for those of you who are sleeping with your smartphones on your nightstand, don't do that. You will only be tempted to check in and read email or Facebook or do some other thing. First, you don't need all that blue light in your face. This is not good sleep hygiene. If you suffer from insomnia and you're somebody who uses your phone in bed, I'm going to blame the phone. I put my phone on charge most every night in a completely separate room. It's never in the bedroom. This is a rule in my house. So, it's important to note that study participants felt as though they provided their full attention and focus on the matter at hand. The bottom line is that the more noticeable the smartphone is, the more cognitive capacity decreases. Though one's conscious mind is not consumed by the smartphone, the process of requiring oneself to not think about the phone ties up some of the inherently limited cognitive resources. You're still multitasking if you're thinking about your smartphone because it's nearby and you're expecting it to signal you or ring or something like that. This is commonly referred to as brain drain. Ha! Brain drain. The research team also performed another experiment in which they examined how an individual's self-reported dependence on his smartphone, or how strongly he feels he needs the smartphone to get through the day, affects cognitive capacity. Participants engaged in the same series of computer-based activities. They were randomly assigned to keep their smartphones face up and clearly visible on the desk, in a bag or pocket, or in a separate room. Some of the participants were directed to turn off their smartphones. The research team determined those who were highly dependent on their smartphones perform much worse compared to those who were less dependent on their smartphones. However, this only proved true when the smartphones were kept in their bag or pocket. Wow. So, because they were still aware of it, you could still feel the buzz of the vibration if it's in your pocket or even in your bag. It was determined that it did not matter if a participant's smartphone was on or off, or whether positioned face up or face down on the desk. Merely having a smartphone within one's line of vision or within one's reach decreases his ability to maintain focus and complete tasks. This is due to the fact that a part of the brain is actively working on not grabbing or using the smartphone, and this is causing brain drain, people. That smartphone. There's a time to use it, and there's a time to lose it. Put it aside, different room. So the conclusion is it is not the distraction caused by smartphone notifications or other smartphone-related stimuli that impact cognitive ability and capacity. It is the presence of the device that diminishes cognitive performance. This is bad news for smartphone owners. It might even inspire some to revert back to those flat, dumb phones that allow for calls and texts but lack web access. I'll tell you something, full disclosure. I have a smartphone, yes, but I use it for calls and texts, more texts. I rarely use it to go on the internet. My computer is handy. I've got my laptop. I've got my desktops. That's where I go when I want web access, not to my phone. So for those of you on the train, on the subway, using your smartphones in this manner, be aware that it is distracting you. But, you know, I see so many people watching TV. I see them watching playing Candy Crush or some other kind of game. I know it keeps us busy during the commute. However, it's good to be aware of your surroundings, especially as people are coming on or off the train, A, to sense any danger in this time, right? To sense any danger and to offer your seat to somebody who may need it. It's courtesy. It's common courtesy. Also, for those of you not using earbuds, or those who do use earbuds, this is another problem. These folks are going to wind up with tinnitus, because too often I've sat or stood next to somebody with their earphones or headphones on and I could hear their music. That's way too loud. That's way too loud. I know with headphones on, we are inclined to push out any other ambient noise and just listen to what we want to listen to, whether we're listening to music or a podcast or the news or some other media, right? Not great for your ears, not great for your eardrums. So keep all of this in mind. And don't keep your smartphone on the on your nightstand. And putting it into airplane mode can lower the amount of radiation emitted from your phone. So that might be another idea. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.